Welcome to the Kingdom ROI Return on Intention Show. I'm your host, Eric L. Dunovit, the Kingdom ROI Strategist. Families and businesses hire me to create, grow, and protect generational wealth by discovering that what they do in their family's living room matters more than what they do in their boardroom or advisor's conference room. On this show, I'm here to tell the stories of families and business owners who recognize that they didn't have a growth problem, they had a relationship and priority problem. We'll hear stories and the journey these families who recognize that business and financial growth weren't what mattered. They know that their relationships and priorities is what's going to determine their outcomes. So stick around to hear the hardships they've faced, the lessons they've learned, and the wisdom they wish they would have known along the way. Each story captures the blessings and the struggles of pursuing return on intention instead of return on investment. Sit back, relax, and enjoy the next 40 minutes where we take the world's broken mindsets and systems and turn them upside down. Welcome, everyone. Welcome to the Return on Intention Show. It's a special day. I've got another incredible guest, and you know that my passion is to advocate for families to grow and protect generational abundance for at least 100 years and beyond, and do that by exposing widespread planning illusions and minimizing the destruction of wealth during your lifetime and beyond. And the guest today has lived a life with an understanding that to truly achieve abundance, it's not about the next business or financial strategy. It is about acknowledging that what we do in our living rooms matters more than what we do in any conference or boardroom. So I am looking forward to diving more into the story of their journey. Forrest Walden, thank you and welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me here. Excited to be here.
Yeah. Hey, would you and I have known each other for a while, but my audience doesn't know you. Tell my audience a little bit about who you are and what you do.
Yeah, my name is Forrest Walden. I am the founder and CEO of Iron Tribe Fitness, which is about a 35-unit group franchise chain. So we're in the fitness space, obviously. Then I also run a men's coaching group called EX3. And then additionally, I have the co-founder of a nonprofit called Never Thirst that puts in clean wells around the world, mostly in the 1040 window. And we're in 8 countries. But most importantly, married 23 years, father of 4, oldest is 21, youngest is 13. We live in Birmingham, Alabama. I've been here most of my adult life, actually my whole life, other than when I was in Auburn for college. War Eagle, just lost the Iron Bowl, but other than that, still a fan. So that's kind of the macro level overview.
That's fantastic. You and I can bemoan a little bit. I was in Death Valley moaning on Saturday.
So. Okay. Yes.
It's a hard Saturday. This won't come out until March and people will hopefully have forgotten all of that by then, but you know, who knows? Hey, Forrest, what I know that you're passionate about, I was going to ask you just really, I mean, do you sleep? I mean, I think that's my big question, doing all those, running a nonprofit, 2 businesses.
Not well. Not well. I get it. Mainly because my wheels are turning, not because of any other reason. I just have a lot of great ideas at night.
Yeah. No, I love it. I love it. I know that your number one passion is God and what he's up to. Let's kind of start there as we talk a little bit about your journey. I'd love to know, when you look at kind of your life and when it comes to the different things he's called you to do, when it comes to trusting God, where do you feel like you've done it well?
Can I take the inverse and where I've done it poorly and he's wrecked me and course corrected me? And
that was going to be my next question, but I was going to start with the positive and take you to the pit, so to speak. But if you want to go straight to the pit, that's up to you.
I don't do it well. I'm a slow learner. He has to constantly wreck me. He has to constantly remind me of my sin. He has to constantly bring pain into my life. And I wish I was a guy who could learn on the mountaintop, but I have a long pattern of being slow and stubborn and defiant even to what he tells me to do. So I don't know. I have a lot of great success stories of how I've done it well. I can tell you how he takes me into myself where I have no other option but to finally follow him.
Well, then how about maybe the one or two places where he taught you the biggest lesson? If you tell those stories and kind of what you went through and what you
did. Yeah. Let's go back to 2006. I was in my late 20s. I was building my first business, which was another franchise, but I was a franchisee. And then I became a master franchisee and I owned and operated 6 locations, but I oversaw 55 in my 3 states, my territory. So here was this young kid who was traveling all the time, had just had his third kid, was making a ton of money. I was making about $30,000 a month, and it was almost exclusively passive because as an area director, I didn't own those businesses. I oversaw those businesses. I got a percentage of their revenue. And for a guy who never aspired to be anything more than a PE coach or maybe a high school football coach, I was paying more in taxes than I ever expected to make. And I was a little high on myself. I just bought a 5 Series BMW. I had just speculated on a beach house at on the Panhandle. And I remember thinking, I'm pretty sure I'm never going to have to worry about money again. And when I built that $1.3 million beach house to flip, mind you, I didn't build it to live in it. But you remember what happened in 2007?
Yeah, that was, I chose to start a business that year.
Yeah, just a little thing called the greatest reset in the real estate market we've seen in our lifetime. And so when I speculated on it, you couldn't build them fast enough. And by the time we finally closed, I could not give it away, Eric. I couldn't get, the bank wouldn't take it. No one would buy it. And God used that to humble me. And I remember there was a third night in a row that I was up on the couch. And I, like people say, I didn't sleep. Like I'm talking not a wink.
Really?
In two nights, third night, because I'm thinking, this, so, how did I get here?
Yep.
From thinking I was never going to worry about money to now wrestling with how am I going to make payments on this and everything else I'm doing and God said, Forrest, do you trust me? And I said, yeah, I trust you. He asked me three times, just like Peter.
Yeah.
And on the third time I said, you know what? I don't trust you because otherwise I wouldn't be up for a third night in a row. I don't even know what it means to trust you. And he just took me on a deep and painful journey of realizing I had bought into my own press clippings. And the ultimate takeaway was, Forrest, I can take it away at any point, and you didn't think I could. And I had to admit, I didn't think he could. I thought I had built a solid foundation. I had built a Now, listen, here's the crazy part, though, Eric. I was a believer. I was going to church. I was an active member of my small group. It's not like I was a pagan not walking with the Lord. But here's what I had disconnected. I had disconnected the blessing from the purpose. And I had started to think the blessing of God was meant that I should eat, drink, and be merry, and that I was enjoying the blessing of God. So a preacher by the name of David Platt, a lot of people have heard of him today. No one had knew who he was. He was a kid in 2006. So I'm going through all this. David Platt shows up at my church as a traveling itinerant preacher and preaches the ultimate disconnect on Psalms 67, 1 and 2. And it wrecked my life. I've never been the same since. It's a core value at Iron Tribe. It's a core value at my nonprofit. And it says, may the Lord be gracious to us and bless us and make his face shine upon us. That's verse one. We love that part. Yes, God bless me. Yes, God, let your face shine upon me. But there's a purpose clause. Verse two says, so that his ways may be known among all nations, his saving power to the nations. And so the question that morning, he walked us literally from Genesis to Revelation. Every time God blessed his people, it was for his purpose. And he took us through like 20 scriptures. Wow. And so then he closed with, so the question is, have you disconnected the blessing from the purpose in your life? And bro, it was like one of those things. I was the only person in the church. Like I went to the front of the altar. I wept. And I'm like, one of the number one things I've been writing in my journal for the last 8 years of building this business is, God, why are you blessing me? And somewhere I got it twisted that it was about me when it's actually about you. Then I started going on mission trips. Then I got exposed to the orphan crisis. That's what led to our adoption. That's what led to starting a clean water ministry, because everywhere I went, there was no access to clean water, and it hurt the church. And so that was the beginning of God taking away and shaking my financial situation. But he took away what I was looking to, I think, as my God at that point. And again, I was saved.
Right. No, I get it.
My savior, but I don't know that he was my Lord. And so again, God has to unfortunately deal with me harshly a lot of times to get me pointed in the right direction.
Tell me a little bit. No. So tell me a little bit about how was your relationship with your wife during that time? I mean, she's got to be just a precious, precious soul. I mean, to go through that and then, I would love to know kind of the transformation. Was she already there, or did she go through a similar transformation, or what happened kind of from that dynamic?
I'm laughing because that's a tame story to what I'm about to tell you. So yes, she's a saint to put up with this crazy entrepreneur who, I mean, how many businesses I've opened, how many have I closed, how many ideas have I had? Yeah, she's a rock. You know, this was really her first time experiencing me in the pit. She really saw me have a lot of success and grow a lot of things. And it was different for her to see me despondent and discouraged and not really know the direction out. But largely she was really on board because Platt then became our preacher and we sat under his teaching for years and years and years. So she was getting impacted by the gospel. So she was just as on board of starting the nonprofit, just as on board of course, we had to be on the same page with the adoption, right? That big problems if you're not on the same page there. It's hard enough without being on the same page. But yeah, the international adoption, she went on a mission trip. Like, yes, we were very equally yoked there.
But what I guess what I want to get into was, I mean, you go from, put the word on it, like greedy, right? Living a pretty greedy and selfish life, to despondent and broken, to completely transformed. And has she expressed to you like the roller coaster that she was on during that time? I mean, was she, did that sermon transform her the same way that day, or had she already kind of been on her journey of transformation by then, or what? I think that's what I'm curious about.
Yeah, you know, and it's funny, I've told this story often, and my parents and her and others will remind me, like, you were never not walking with the Lord. We never experienced you as greedy. But you know how what God does to your heart.
And yeah, I know, absolutely.
They can't see my heart. I was greedy. I was praising success. I was taking all the credit. And so they don't really recognize it, but I know my heart.
Yeah.
And when God speaks, he cut to the heart. So, yeah, they would say there wasn't this. But now on the flip side, the guy who wanted to go start the nonprofit, and that's a whole another story of, I felt like, well, how could I do anything else? How could I keep growing businesses if God's shown me kids dying from diarrhea?
Yeah.
So that was actually harder than the house. He took me through an 18-month process where I felt like he was calling me to do the business I'm doing now.
Yeah.
And I kept saying, well, like, that can't be you. Because you wouldn't tell me to go start a business. You would tell me to go be a missionary, go to seminary, or run this nonprofit. And I don't want to miss it. I don't want to get to the end of my one and only life and head in my hand saying I've wasted it. So I'm not going to go do Iron Tribe. I'm going to, and he just kept closing doors. And basically I got to the point where I said, God, I'd have to be an idiot not to see that you're calling me into for-profit again. But please don't let me miss it again. How can I connect what I'm doing around the world already at that point with water? And so with Iron Tribe, we started a movement called Workout for Water, and we've raised over $5 million over the last 12 years that have gone 100% to the ground to platform churches and put in clean drinking water. And so things like that, in what I've really come full circle around, and I have scripture to back it up. We probably don't have time to that today, but Luke 12 and the parable of the wealthy farmer, man, I cannot tell you how much time I spent in that parable and how long it took my thick skull to get it, that his sin was not until he said, you have goods laid up for years to come, eat, drink, and be merry. God was pleased with him when he expanded his farm. He was pleased with him when he tore down the barn and built another barn. It was what he did with the resources. But I would read Luke 12 and think, well, the dude was greedy. He shouldn't have been a business owner. He shouldn't have been. Why wasn't he content with a well? He had a good farm, Eric. He had a full barn. Why do you have to tear it down? But God's called us to expand. Parable of the talents, man. Double your talent. What you might have been given two, I might have been given five. Doesn't matter. We're just supposed to double it.
That's right. So
I can talk now with conviction. When I was in the middle of it, I felt like a second class Christian if I didn't go do the thing that I felt like God was calling me to. So I've learned how to connect the two, be a for-purpose businessman, right, and make sure the money I make is impacting the kingdom. And one of my most proud things at home is every time we sponsor a well as a family, we get a plaque with the location, the country, and the actual replica of the plaque that's on the well. And so my refrigerator top to bottom has just got these plaques. And I'm like, this is what the Walden family is going to live for. And look, don't get me wrong. We have a lake house. We have nice things. We drive nice cars, right? We're not eating ramen noodles and giving 99% of our money away. And that's a wrestle too. Where's the line? Right. Yeah. And so you just got to trust the Lord with that. But anyway,
So don't leave that story though, because I mean, we're going to have people who are listening, and I'd love for you with the time that we've got left to unpack this a little bit more, because I think a lot of people wrestle with this idea of, if I'm going to be in ministry, then what I need to do is, like you said, I need to go to seminary. I need to whatever. And there is a huge amount of ministry opportunity and a huge amount of ministry calling. And I almost think that, I've told a lot of people that I think the next great awakening of the body of Christ happens in business. And it's going to happen through Christian business owners who understand that calling. So talk a little bit more, if you can, about, or if you will, just about like how you kind of unpacked that for the people who are listening, who are maybe wrestling with that.
Yeah. I mean, I just got to a point. First of all, I'm a slow learner. It took 18 months, and God finally showed me, no, I've given you unique talents mm-hmm. and skill sets in the prophet space, but I want you to connect them. Got so it. First of all, it's really accepting who you are mm-hmm. and knowing what God's created you to be, and not trying to put God in a box and saying you can't work through an entrepreneur. And then it's been the countless amount of ministers of the gospel that I've met over the years who actually tell me they're jealous of my platform because they're in this bubble of Christianity and they don't have non-Christian friends. And they actually love coming to my gym because they actually get to bump elbows with non-Christians. Mm. They're in insulated little bubbles. So what I have found is I have amazing opportunities to share the gospel when I show up in the for-profit space with excellence. Mm. The big statement there.
You can't
be a half-assed Christian and throw an Ithaca fish on it and call it excellent, right? The world hates that. So we have to show up as more excellent to actually make them stop and say, man, what makes his life tick? How is he still married to the same woman and raising God-fearing kids and running a business? I want to hear more about that, so that when I open my mouth and point to Jesus, they're not surprised, right? But at some level they are surprised, because they're like, that's not what I thought we'd be talking about today. I thought you'd be helping me move my business. Well, how can I help you with your business if you don't even know the guy who owns a cattle on 1,000 hills, right?
That's right.
Yeah. And it's just these it's a completely different conversation than Mr. Minister coming in and you're being paid to spend time with me, right? That's their perception, right?
Right.
It's your vocation. So I have got absolutely zero guilt or consternation about being an entrepreneur at this point. I feel like I'm equipped and I'm a minister of the gospel, and I just happen to do it through business.
You've brought it up, so I'm going to make a little bit of a plug for somebody who's not here. Have you read Jerry Boyer's The Maker versus the Takers?
No.
Okay, so I'm just going to give you a little overview on this because it's interesting. He went and did a deep dive on scripture, and what he discovered is that Jesus never preached against the accumulation of wealth when he was in an entrepreneurial community. The only time that there's this parable and there's this, in every single instance when he was preaching against the accumulation of wealth, he was in a community that was ruled more by government, who was taking from the people. So if you get a chance to read it, it's an incredible read, because you've discovered it without realizing it was there.
I would love to read that.
Yeah. Just a fantastic, fantastic book. You had said there are several different places. Where's your biggest challenge that God's opening up new things for you right now?
Well, you started with two places he's taught me, and I'm happy to talk about that. But do you want to talk about my depression journey? I mean, because that was the...
Let's go.
Because he's got things he's doing right now, man. You don't have a good testimony if it's not things he's doing in your life right now. But I've also got the big pit that we didn't even touch on.
Well, why don't you go to the big pit and we'll see what we have room for at the end.
Man, I can tell it quick.
Okay.
And it's wrapped around calling. Now, I was facing massive issues in my business. We scaled really quickly. We sold a bunch of franchises, Inc. 5,000, 3 years in a row. But then we started hitting some major headwinds, some economic stuff, some model stuff, some growing too fast stuff. And I felt like it was all coming down on me. And I quit sleeping, not in the good way.
Yeah.
And man, I was in full-blown depression. When I went to Warrior, I was looking for a way out. And my very first Warrior event, God unequivocally told me to build the Christian version. And I didn't know what that looked like. It sounded too big. I felt underqualified. I had all these stories around who I was. And I ran from it just like Jonah. And he took me to the pit. I was suicidal. I had to go to a therapist. I've done a whole podcast on it. If you want to hear more about that story, I got a podcast. Just Google Tribecast Forrest Walden. I think it's episode 13 or something. And what I learned at Warrior and the tools I was given at Warrior gave me the confidence and the ability to rebuild my life, but do it on a foundation of full truth. So I knew the truth, but I had never been in an environment where I could actually speak my truth, not only as an entrepreneur, but as a Christian man. And Warrior creates an environment where you can say anything. And that was cathartic for me, but also had to learn that he's called me to lead in that way. So yeah, that ties into me running a men's coaching group, which I've been doing for 3 years, and but really just now scaled it in the last 6 weeks. And my world's kind of going vertical with that, because he basically told me that if you don't step into this, I'm going to take it away. And when he takes things away from me, I get real discouraged, especially when he's called me into it. So yeah, I've just been taking steps. And you know, one of my favorite verses, his word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Man, he only shows us the next step, but I want the lighthouse. I want to see way down the road. And he's like, nope, take the next step. I'll show you the next one. So that's where I am right now. It's fun. My poor wife, she doesn't, you know, has to make me sleep at night, but other than that, things are really good.
What was the catalyst that made you get off of the sideline of hearing God telling you what you're supposed to do versus actually taking the action?
It's a great question. It's in fact, I was on a call with Garrett this morning answering that same question. And, you know, something happened this year where I reacquired a few of my franchisees. They were struggling, so I took them over to turn them around, either flip them or run them. And we just really got our ass kicked in Atlanta. And I had this issue where I went over there to meet with the team, and I felt like the team was disrespectful, and I felt like the team didn't understand really what we stood for as a brand. And I made the decision on the spot to close it, walked over to the landlord, got out of the lease. And so that drive home from Atlanta to Birmingham, 2.5 hours, I absolutely took myself to the woodshed around what I tolerate in my life. What do I tolerate as a leader? What do I tolerate myself and my own standards? What do I tolerate my team? How did these guys get hired? How do we put ourselves in this situation where I lost $250,000 on the transaction? And that's okay, but I've learned those lessons before. I shouldn't be relearning lessons at this stage in the game. I'm 47 years old, right? And so I just kicked my own ass. And part of that was really inviting God into that conversation and saying, what am I missing? Because I feel like I'm missing something. And that's when he said, and this was mid-October, and we're not talking long ago. We're not talking long ago. He said, Forrest, I've equipped you. I've established you. I've given you resources. I've given you the idea. And if you don't go, I'm going to take it away. And the only way I can speak this clearly is because I stack. Right. If I didn't process what God's telling me every morning, I don't think I would be able to articulate it to the degree that I do. So I don't know if that's something you talk about on the show, but yeah, I mean, it's just constantly bringing God into everything I do and not try to put him in these little bitty boxes of, oh, you're Sunday or you're quiet time or you're this or you're that. You're everything and everything. So I want to add this because it's important. What I learned during speculating at the beach house was he can take it all away. But I thought that meant money. What I learned going through depression, Eric, he can take it all away. The desire to get out of bed in the morning, the desire to walk out and realize that the seasons are changing and experience joy. I literally lost the ability to experience joy. And I was like, oh, when you said you could take it away, you meant you can take it all away. Oh, and that also means I bring nothing to the table.
That's right.
Even my good ideas, even me on my best day, even my most righteous thoughts, even the $5 million are filthy rags. So again, that's why I say he has to take me to the end of myself for me to learn anything. And maybe one day I'll be a faster learner, but you know, I'm watching The Chosen right now, and those guys were such idiots that it gives me a lot of encouragement.
I had a good friend of mine one time who said, when you're reading through the Bible and you spot the idiot in the story, just realize that's you.
Yes, 100%.
So many times we're like, I can't believe they didn't get that. And just hold up a mirror. And for those who don't know, you can reach out to me. You can reach out to Forrest. If you're like, what's he talking about a stack? Let me just tell you this real, I just dropped this really quick. It is a tool that every businessman needs to reflect, to teach yourself to reflect on your own thoughts. Because what you begin to discover is 90% of the time, if you're not careful, you're lying to yourself.
Maybe, and so, maybe 99.
I was going to say 99. I was like, is that too harsh? No, you're right. It's probably 99% of the time you are lying to yourself. And it is a place to hold up the mirror of truth to yourself. So reach out to Forrest, reach out to me. Forrest, as we kind of get ready to wrap up, question for you. In 100 years, so 100 years from now, what do you hope your family remembers about you?
Well, I hope they actually value the reams of journals I've left behind and all the work I've done in the stack, because they don't have to wonder what Dad was thinking, at least since 2001. They want to read what I was thinking. It's in a journal. I don't know. And, you know, sometimes I think they'll value that. Sometimes I think, would I really go read my parents? I think maybe I would. My dad's dead. Maybe I would. So it's there. But I hope they remember a guy who didn't wrestle with whether he was a 1, 2, or 5 talent guy. He just owned all of who he was, and he accepted the call to flip it, to double it, and taught them how to double it, and taught them how to walk with Jesus. Nothing else matters. Businessman, body, whatever. Those are the two things.
That's beautiful. Is there anything you didn't get to share today that you wanted to share?
I mean, I could give you all kind of screw ups. I mean, we could just be all day talking about how I miss it. No, I think we hit on the high points and, you know, ultimately how he uses pain in all of our lives. You know, that's how he teaches, and we hate it, but man, he puts us there for a reason.
But it's, I mean, when you begin to figure it out, this upside down world, there's so much peace sitting inside of it when you can really let go and trust him. So, and I think that you've echoed that part as well. If people want to get in touch with you, want to know more about Iron Tribe or about your men's program or about anything like that, what's the best way to do that?
IronTribeFitness.com. We're in 8 states, 30 over 30 locations, or EX3Impact.com if you want me to kick you in the butt.
Forrest, thank you. Thank you for being here today. Everyone, thank you again so much for joining us. You know that I personally run an invitation-only program that helps families grow and protect generational abundance for 100-plus years by exposing the widespread planning illusions and minimizing the destruction of wealth during your lifetime and beyond. So I've got several tips. I've got several examples that can help you grow your abundance by discovering that you don't need another business or financial strategy. What you need to do is acknowledge that what you're doing in your living room matters more than what you do in any conference or boardroom. So please reach out, connect with us on kingdomroi.org for more information. Forrest, thank you so much for being here today. And we will be with you next time. God bless. Thank you so much for joining me for the Kingdom ROI Return on Intention podcast. If you're a business owner or a family who recognizes that what you're doing in your family's living room matters more than what you do in the boardroom or advisors' conference rooms, you're open to sharing the ups and downs of the journey and would like to be a guest on the show, then I'd like to invite you to apply by visiting our website, www.kingdomroi.org. We are regularly putting out new episodes and content. To make sure you don't miss any episodes, go ahead and subscribe. Your thumbs up, ratings, and reviews go a long way to help promote the show, and they mean a lot to me and my team. Want to know more? Go to our website, www.kingdomroi.org, or follow me on LinkedIn, Facebook, and Instagram. Thanks for listening. This is Eric L. Dunovet, the Kingdom ROI Strategist, signing off. Until next time.